Now, the rest of the story. You're standing at the window when the body goes hurtling by. A fully clothed body of a man on its way to the pavement 15 floors below. Poor devil, you think to yourself. But your concern is fleeting and superficial. At this moment, you are too immersed in self-pity. Self-pity over your own sudden poorness, really to empathize with his, because it's Friday after Black Thursday, it's October 1929. The stock market has crashed. Your fortunes have crashed with it. In this house right now, you're the guest of a friend, or you could not possibly afford an address which looked out on Fifth Avenue in New York, and you've just seen a man leave the world by way of a high window, and you are yourself standing beside a high window. The economic holocaust of 1929 was worldwide, you know. Everybody was in it or downwind from it. And here now you had left your family in the old world to seek your fortune in the new world as a writer, and you had done fairly well. You had earned quite a bit. You had made many influential friends. But it was those friends who had encouraged you to invest, and you had invested everything. And now your family and your wife has had an expensive mastoid operation. She and your four youngsters are an ocean away, and you are 55, and you are broke, flat broke, and standing by a high window. The autumn afternoon was bright and clear, and down there were sirens and a crowd converging for a gruesome glimpse of the exploded remains of a man nobody knew. Nor was he the first. You had taken a walk down Wall Street. You had looked down on the stock exchange from the visitors' gallery. You had been hopeful of being distracted from your own misfortune by all of that pandemonium, but you saw no pandemonium. You gazed down on a most somber scene. Men moving to and fro as in a slow motion picture. Or a disturbed anthill, offering one another enormous blocks of securities at a fraction of yesterday's value and finding no takers. Now you're back in your room and you're standing by this window and you're looking down on the impersonal mop-up below, the wanton waste of a nameless man's last selfish defiance, and it fills you with loathing. Was not man worth more than money? However much money. So you will not leave the world by way of a window. You will instead contact your wife. She will have to budget carefully right now, right down to the family boot polish, but you will go home within a week to join her in England, and you will move out of the house and rent that and live in something smaller, while you will make of this tragedy that you're witnessing the subject for enough writing that somebody might consider worth buying again. And so you will begin your professional life all over again. So you are 55. Whatever years are left, and who knows? Who knows even at 55? And even for you, there may be important things left for you to do. For your name is Winston Churchill.